Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Hello and welcome to the exciting finale of the Amazon Avenue Winters Winter Meetings special. Tonight we'll be recapping the winter meetings, which finished yesterday, and kind of assessing where the roster stands since the meetings have ended. So I'm Kenneth Lavin. I'm joined today by Lucas Vlahos. How are you today, Lucas?
Quite tired, but still here. It's been a long week.
It has been. Very long week. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have happened. Not nearly enough, but...
Not nearly enough, but also it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. You're right. So, yeah, I guess we should get into it. Mm-hmm. The Mets signed Rick Porcello to a one-year, $10 million contract.
This was, like, literally... 4 or 5 hours after we finished the last pod we did?
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer.
It's like we had a whole conversation about Michael Wacha and how he was a reasonable fifth starter gamble, and that I'm pretty sure both of us said that we were just glad they didn't sign Rick Porcello, and then they turned around and signed Rick Porcello.
To be honest, I don't hate it since they also brought in Wacha. I feel like between the two of them, there's a pretty good chance they at least get like usable big league innings.
Yeah. So how do you think how do you think the rotation's gonna shake out here exactly?
So I guess there are two possibilities, or two guys left on the outside looking in. There's Michael Wacha, who I think probably should be. And Steven Matz, who mm-hmm. is intriguing in his own right, but I think is probably a better starter mm-hmm. than Wacha at this point. Not mm-hmm. that Steven, but it's close, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I see it shaking out. I think a six-man rotation's also possible.
Per a couple tweets from Tacoma, they're not going to do a six-man rotation.
Okay, yeah. So I think it comes down to whoever looks best. Wacha or Steven Matz.
Yeah, I mean, my initial fear was that they were going to trade Syndergaard on the back of this, right? Mm-hmm. Because they've been trying to do that forever. But Brody, at the start of the offseason, said they weren't doing that, reaffirmed that they aren't going to do that. I don't know how much we trust the Mets, but it's something. If they traded Syndergaard, this would be very, very, very bad.
Yeah, so they can't lose a starter here.
No.
Is the problem. Like, you can cover for injuries at for a certain amount of time, but, you know, the likelihood is this team is going to live and die by their starting pitching health. Go ahead.
I'm a little conflicted on the move, to be totally honest. I'm trying to write up a grading piece right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fluctuating a little bit. First of all, I have some real concerns about Porcello at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever decide if it was
He's
Porcello?
He's very target. I think it's Porcello.
Porcello. So I have to say, stop saying it like a porcini mushroom, which is
I'm currently doing a bit where I say it the other way every time and alternate.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome to join the bit if you'd like.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Got it.
The bit also may have been ruined now that I have.
I have unveiled your bit. where the heck is my drafting course? Here it is. I was talking about Michael Wacha. We talked about Michael Wacha, and like, I don't know that there's a lot to be seen in his Brooks data, for instance, right? I think he was just hurt, mm-hmm. and He's had a lot of shoulder back things, which might have been to have a cumulative effect at this point. He might just be cooked.
He's also a fastball changeup guy, and those guys tend to be a little more volatile than.
Yeah, you know. The margin for error is much more slim when you're fastball changeup. Right. Of course, it works really well when you're on. So I think it's a good. I thought that was a fine risk reward. With Porcello, I think there's legitimate concern with his pitch mix. So I talk about this in the article, which I'll try to have up this weekend, hopefully. But his pitches had less movement. Well, let me. I'm spoiling it here. The first thing I looked at was his usage, because his ground ball rate went to shit last year, which is not what you expect from Rick Porcello. And he was throwing the ball up in the zone a lot more. He was also grooving a lot more pitches, which isn't a very good thing, obviously.
Typically best avoided.
He was leaning on his four-seam fastball more than ever before. As a guy who has historically been known as a guy with a heavy sinker who will induce ground balls. And then looking at the actual pitch-specific data, he's lost almost a mile an hour off the board across every pitch. And I think I did that backwards, whatever. And lost movement on almost every pitch, including an inch and a half of less drop on his sinker. So there's a question here, right? Did he try to change his approach intentionally to something that just didn't work? So he tried to alter his pitches and his pitch usage, to be more of a high up in the zone guy, and it just didn't work? Or, Did he just lose his sinker / his other breaking balls and have to lean on his four seam more and just get pounded? Based on the fact that there's movement loss across the board, I lean towards the latter, especially because he's also a 30-year-old who debuted at 20 and already has 2,000 innings on his arm, right? So it's an old 30.
It's very Vargas-like. Porcello, if you like. Vargas is a very different pitcher, but just going for that class of guy who, like, everybody's like, okay, no, this might legitimately be going, you know, but they still decided to bring him in.
And because of that, I'm like, look, in a vacuum, having six good starters is good. It's a thing a team should do. It's a thing the Mets have never done well, so that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
But Steven Matz is a better pitcher than either of these guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
But both Porcello and Waka talked about Porcello hasn't had his press conference yet, I guess. It's not official, but whatever. But Waka specifically talked about being a starter, being signed to be a starter. So the Mets presumably have guaranteed he's going to get a chance to start, which means you're putting a worse pitcher in the bullpen, or a better pitcher in the bullpen in Matz. So I don't know how I feel about that exactly.
So I'm still waiting to see how that's going to shake out. Mm-hmm. You know, Waka might – it might not come down to what he wants, you know. We don't know. I haven't even seen speculation about him, you know, feeling like he's been – Has he, like, said that he's pretty much been assured he's going to be a starter?
I mean, he talked about being a starter in his press conference, which makes me think that...
Yeah, that might be.
That the Mets said, we're going to sign you to be a starter.
Okay, so I agree that would be dumb, that Steven Matz is probably a better pitcher than the two of them at this point, and therefore should probably be a starter. And specifically, you know, is the only one of those three that I really would trust more than one time through a lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with that. I think in a vacuum, though, if this is the bargain, this is the, you know, tier of free agency that you're aiming for, I like that you at least brought in two of them.
Well, that's the other thing I wanted to mention, right? Because, first of all, Michael Pineda signed for the same AAV as Rick Porcello.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, Michael Pineda is a much better pitcher.
The thing here is that they waited. That when you wait to do everything,
I mean, they only waited a week.
You miss out on the good options.
It was only an extra week. So it's only been
Lucas,
a week.
We've done like four podcasts since then and took a day off.
That's true. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
So that was the first point, right? But now I was sitting down and just trying to think about the trade-off here, right? If you're going to spend, and let's like Waka's base is $3 million, he probably won't get to the $10 million, the full $10 million, but he probably gets to $5 or $7 million, depending on how the incentives are structured. If you're going to spend $17 million on two back-end starters – why not just spend that much or a little bit more on a front end starter like Hyunjin Ryu?
Yeah, no, I'm grading on a curve a little bit.
well, they spent the money, right?
Like it's this is much better. Yeah, I know, it's just much better than I was expecting, which is like Michael Waka and then
nothing else.
Yeah, Walker Lockett territory.
I don't know. I
get what you're saying, like everything you're saying is right. Like
if they had $17 million to spend, and I'm just I'm gonna keep approximating Waka as $7 million here. If they had that much money to spend, I'm pretty sure there was a more optimal way to spend.
Yeah, you could probably get, you know, that's what, almost $8.5 million?
Yeah.
What did your Pomeranz get?
He got 439 to 436 or 432.
Oh, yeah,
432. So you could have Drew Pomeranz. You could have had Will Harris. You could have Dylan Betances, but I don't much care about him, honestly. I mean,
or you know, what does that go for in starting? That's basically
probably
Pena, right?
Sign for about that AAV, right?
You think like, I guess.
How much money is Hyunjin Ryu going to get? He has like one really good season, a couple solid seasons, and a lot of injuries.
That's true.
And we could sit around and debate the trade-off of like one high-end number three, number two starter or two low-end number four, number five starters and which are more valuable. Mm-hmm. I tend to think I'd rather have one stronger asset and then kind of patch together – 10
I'm,
or so starts from Walker.
A little biased because I just really don't want to see Walker Lockett starting games.
That's also fair. Like I'm
sure he's going to pitch for them this year, and that's great. Just like you should have depth that keeps that from happening.
I mean,
like,
that's
on the team. He's going to be in the bullpen at various times.
That's absolutely another fair point, and this has been something I've often wondered both eternally and out loud over the past couple of years when the Mets are accused of or not even accused, I shouldn't say accused, but when they're critiqued for not having ample starter depth. It's like, yes, but how do you build starter depth when you have a full rotation of guys who are better than most of the free agents you can get? Like, where are you going to find a starter that's simultaneously better than the mediocre options you have in the minors already, but who is willing to work in relief as a sixth or seventh starter? Like, I don't know that there are a lot of – I feel like that's a tough profile to nail, right?
Yeah, so you're basically saying, like, Yusmeiro Petit, right?
Well, Petit hasn't been a starter for a while.
Yeah, but he can do it.
Sure.
He's been very good out of the pen, and it hasn't pressed they haven't needed his services as a starter, but
I'm trying to think of a better example.
Yeah, okay, we're going back to like 2014. Yeah.
I mean, in short, it feels like it's really challenging to build good starting pitching depth if you don't have homegrown prospects that you can shuttle. Right, because if that makes sense, right? Because otherwise, you have to have a starter sitting in the bullpen, which is either a suboptimal deployment of your talent, or something you have to sell to a free agent. Which then leaves us in this conundrum that we're talking about with Mats, where like he's probably a better starter than the two guys they just signed, but in order to get the two guys they just signed to sign, they had to tell them they were starters.
Yeah, potentially they have to.
And like that sucks for Steven Matz too. He has like what, 2 years left before free agency? Probably.
I mean, I also think though, and we talked about this a little bit in Slack today, I think Steven Matz, his stuff, I think, out of the three of them would play the best out of the pen.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I wish the other two were better so that I would feel okay doing that.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of
I could see him playing really, really his stuff playing way, way, way up out of the pen.
I absolutely agree with that. It's a side of the game that I don't know that we are as well equipped to discuss in the public side. That being, how do you juggle personalities in these situations?
Yeah, true. So that's the other part of it is, you know, everybody wants to be a starter. And
right, like Seth Lugo wants to be a starter, apparently, supposedly. Or at least that's the whisper we always hear. And he's been a good soldier, and he's been a really, really good reliever. I don't know.
It's the old thing where, it's a blessing in disguise being an elite reliever.
Yeah. Well, I am a little surprised that this sentiment still exists as strongly, given that relievers are now paid as well or better than plenty of the free agent starters, right? Like, unless you're...
There's still a gap there, though. It's like Michael Pineda got 210.
Yeah? Is there that much of a gap, though?
Like Will Smith got, like, 310.
Will Smith got, like, 452.
Did he?
Yeah.
It was so long ago at this point.
Yeah, that was the Braves stuck really quick there. Three guaranteed years at $39 million. Atlanta has a $13 million club option.
Yeah, there's a little gap there.
Yeah. So, I at the very least, that gap is much smaller than it used to be, right?
Yeah, true.
And if your options are to be a good, somewhere between a good and elite reliever and being a mediocre starter, I'm pretty sure that class of relievers gets paid better these days. At least on the free agent market.
True.
So, I don't know. I'm still going back and forth on how to grade this. There's some good to it, some bad to it.
Yeah, and especially in isolation, I think. If you don't consider context and just process, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's just the Mets being the Mets. is why I give them a little more credit here.
Also, like, Why were they so set on Rick Porcello? Like,
oh, he ticks every box. He's from Jersey.
Oh, God. Is he from Jersey? I thought he was from Long Island. That's what Rich was joking about. All right, whatever. Rich was joking about in the Slack about, like, Stroman, Matz, and
Morristown.
Like, bada bing, bada boom, or whatever. So some bullshit tri-state area Italian stuff I say as an Italian person from the tri-state area. But like Homer Bailey is probably a better pitcher at this point.
Yep.
Probably going to get less money. I don't know.
No, I feel you. It's not great, but
Gio Gonzalez.
It's not great, but it's something.
That's could gamble on Jimmy Nelson. Could being further away. Could gamble on Danny Salazar. His shoulder's probably screwed. Tyler Anderson got non-tendered, and if his knee's healthy, he's probably a better pitcher. I don't know. We'll see how the rest of the offseason plays out.
Yep. So let's go to a break real quick, and then we'll come back and probably just pick up right where we left off. So back after this.
This episode is sponsored by Stash, a smarter, simpler way to start investing. With Stash, you can begin investing in a wide array of companies and diversified funds for as little as $5. Stash offers unlimited trading with no add-on trading commissions, so you can invest without worrying about getting nickel and dimed. You can choose your own stocks and funds to build a personalized portfolio, or let Stash help build one for you. Stash demystifies investing with personalized financial guidance and education. They can even help you set up a plan for retirement saving. Stash will give you $10 today to get started investing. Just visit www.stash.app with the code SBNation. That's www.stash.app with code SBNation to get your $10 to start investing on Stash. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For disclosures and to learn how to claim your $10 to invest, visit www.stash.app.
Hey, I'm Jason Del Rey. I recently wrapped up Land of the Giants, The Rise of Amazon. In this podcast, we examine how Jeff Bezos turned a small online bookseller into one of the most powerful companies in the world. We start by exploring how Amazon Prime became a service with over 100 million members and the main source of the company's power.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Amazon's banking on, right? That you're just so locked in that you're going to go to any other sites because, I mean, I don't.
And we end the season by pondering the question, is Amazon too big?
You know, and we just don't want to be the United States of Amazon. We just really don't.
Land of the Giants has been recommended by the New York Times, Axios, Wired, and more. It's a candid look at the state of Amazon today, how we got here, and what the future might look like. The entire first season is out now. Find out more and binge it on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to the grand finale of the Amazon Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos. And we just discussed Rick Porcello, the signing of Rick Porcello to be presumably the team's fifth starter. Now we're just going to kind of go over everything that's happened and kind of where the team's at. So, Lucas, would you like to begin?
Yeah, so
like just general impressions of
this. They could have definitely done better at these winter meetings, mm-hmm. But they could have definitely done worse, right? We've talked about a little bit.
It's fully expecting them not to come in with like a roster anywhere near filled.
Mm-hmm.
I was fully expecting, especially with the ownership change being announced and everything, that. Like nothing was going to happen, so I'm fine with what happened.
I mean, I also fully expected them to do something stupid like trade Brandon Nimmo for Starling Marte.
Yeah, on that front, I am thrilled.
Mm-hmm. And it seems they've kind of backtracked there a little bit, walked back their desire to make that trade.
Yeah, they basically, I forget who tweeted it, but one of the beat writers. Ran a quote from somebody basically saying like they don't view that as a significant upgrade, if an upgrade, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. Nimmo and Mariznick, which is basically what we said about it.
Yep, that's exactly right. So I'm glad
The more extreme positions have been walked back a little bit.
Was it last offseason they were talking about trading, or was it Nimmo for Josh Harrison, or was that two off seasons ago? That was two off seasons ago, I think.
Seasons ago, yeah.
So. For the second time, we've dodged a let's trade Brandon Nimmo for a bad aging player. Not bad. For an aging player from the Pirates.
Yeah, for a player who wouldn't cost that much to replace in free agency.
Yep. So like, they avoid that.
Not a guy you should trade pre-arb talent for, but yeah.
I am a little disappointed in – we've discussed the starters ad nauseum at this point. At least they added something. They tried.
I wouldn't go so far as to say they tried.
They did something.
This is still, they did a thing. Uh-huh. I was not expecting them to do a thing.
They did two things, Ken.
They did two things. Yes.
The Yankees only did one thing. The Mets did two things. Two is bigger than one.
Volume.
Jesus doing the finger thing again.
we should pump Dave a little bit.
add him to your MySpace top 8 or whatever.
Yeah, follow at Dave Capibianco or whatever his Twitter. Dave Capibianco is his name. He's good.
I'm pretty disappointed in the total lack of bench moves.
They still have a ways to go.
So what's the bench look like right now? Jed Lowry, Mariznick, Guillorme, Nito, and Max Moroff. Has the 26th roster spot been confirmed? That's confirmed,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Okay. Right. So that's the bench right now, and that's bad.
Yeah, not great, Bob. That's pretty thin. So yeah, they still have to do things, which is unfortunate because I would like them not to have to do things at this point. But there's still things to be done. I feel a little better with the pitching staff.
Yeah.
I don't feel great. I wish they would bring in another good reliever. Because, yeah, you can carry eight relievers with a 26-man – or eight pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Or eight you can carry at most eight. So, or at most 13, which eight relievers. And right now, if our assumption about Mass going to the bullpen is correct, you're looking at Diaz, Lugo, Familia, Wilson, Gesellman, Matz. Did I say Wilson already? Wilson, and then in an eighth spot, that's something of a question mark.
Mm-hmm. I would ideally like that eighth spot to be filled with somebody good, because I don't think they're going to get a lot from at least Jerry's Familia, and there's enough risk spread around where...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they have...
I'd like another solid dude.
I have some faith in Dyes' ability to bounce back.
Me too.
Lugo,
I think Wilson is still a good pitcher. Lugo, I think, is elite.
Yeah. So I think you have like two frontline quote unquote relievers in Diaz and Lugo. There's your eighth and ninth inning guys. Whatever. Then you have a couple decent mid tier options like Wilson. I'm comfortable slotting Matz into that pool.
Yep.
Of mid tier options. Then you have like the two lower end options, that being Familia and Brock in that mid tier as well. And then you have Familia and Gesellman in the bottom tier. Now I think Familia could be good again. He's lost some weight. Maybe that
it's
helps.
It's entirely him. Possible. I don't want to count on it.
Yeah, me neither. No, so I'm definitely putting him in that bottom tier.
Yeah.
I don't think Gesellman is good. Like Gesellman should be the eighth guy in the bullpen.
Yeah. He's like, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he still has options left. Not that you'd necessarily want to do that. But at this point, it's been a long time since he was, like, above average.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never been above average out of the pen, except in, like, very short bursts.
Yep. I would have no qualms about... I think in my ideal world, I would get two more relievers and option Gesellman to be a depth starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
And just tell him to deal with it, right? Like, get better or tough shit.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I think he'd get starts. Like,
mm-hmm.
even in this, thing, he'd end up in the pen probably for half the year.
Yep.
Because part of why I think they need at least one reliever is these guys are never all going to be healthy.
Yeah, they were very lucky last year.
At best, you're going to have like six of these guys at any given time, of the seven that we've announced.
Mm-hmm.
And the likelihood is you're going to have like five.
Mm-hmm.
So having one more legitimate, I guess I'll call them like guy you can trust there, I think would be just make or break for this group.
I think in an ideal world, they get one more guy for that middle tier and another guy for that frontline tier.
Where does Will Harris fit in there?
I'd call him frontline.
Okay, I agree.
I'd call Craig Stauman midline.
So like a guy better than Brad Brock and a guy who's legitimately very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If Betances is healthy, he's frontline, but I don't want that risk.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unknowns there.
Uh-huh. I'm just going through the free agent list right now. The relief market
is certainty.
It's surprisingly bad this year.
I mean, it also, again, doesn't help that a lot of pitchers have signed at this point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Braves signed
all of the ones that
mm-hmm.
don't, have serious risk factors.
I wouldn't hate Stauman as a mid-tier option. Mm-hmm. There are a couple guys I'd be interested in taking a gamble on. Brandon Morrow would be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Just see if his arm health is healthy. If you could convince Danny Salazar to be a reliever, I'd totally gamble on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's not a lot of great options here. Which leads to another rumor that makes me very happy, if you want to lay the groundwork for that one.
Yeah, so apparently the Mets are interested in Jose Leclerc of the Rangers.
I love Lucas. Me some Jose Leclerc. I've been...
He is extremely my shit.
Yeah. There was a rumor that they asked about him last year, and I got super excited. I had him in my AAOP this year. So Jeff made a comment like it's sometimes 30 command. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true. It's quite possible his command was sitting between 30 and 40 for most of last year. Want to guess what his DRA minus was last year, despite a BB9 of 5.1?
DRA minus?
Yeah.
90?
61.5.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty great.
He was almost 40% better than league average. Like, he's really, really, really good. They
3.0 by DRA. Wow. Mm-hmm. He had a better season by BP's metrics than I would have thought.
Yeah. Yeah. They used him as an opener for a little bit as well, so he has a little experience doing that. He has experience closing. He has a really team-friendly contract that has options through 2025, I believe. And supposedly the Mets were dangling something with Jed Lowry and Dom Smith, which makes sense for the Rangers roster construction, honestly.
But also, just, like, trade Dom Smith and get something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
like,
I don't
like you could get something else in addition to Leclerc, mm-hmm. potentially.
I think you have, because of the contract, I think you have to add to Dom to get Leclerc. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Which I'm totally fine doing. Like, add a mid tier prospect to Dom for Jose Leclerc. Where do I sign? So I'll put it this way: if they polished off the bullpen with like just Leclerc, I'd be happy. If they did Leclerc, and I'd be really happy. And if they did Leclerc and like another mid tier signing, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be like, great, it's more than I expected. The bench still scares me, especially because of their intense desire to trade away Jed Lowry. It seems Lowry,
yeah,
Lowry,
again,
whatever.
So, like, part of me, and I don't know if this is reasonable or not, but part of me just never thinks he's going to be on the field. Just having seen how weird that was.
You think he's borked permanently?
I think that's possible. And I like Jed Lowry a lot. I was very much in favor of the signing at the time.
Yeah, dude.
But this was super weird. And I don't know that I try, like, something this weird gives me pause.
Well, I'm trying to think how you'd even fill out the bet. Like, let's say they dump Lowry, how do you fill out the bench without him?
Oh, I don't know that they do.
The bench is bad. Even
I also don't think it makes sense to get rid of, you know, a usable, potentially usable player, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Which I get. It's just part of me thinks they're going to get zero from him.
Especially with how much time Cano missed last year, right? Like, Cano can miss time.
It's a fear-based reaction, Lucas.
Yeah. Well, Cano missed time. McNeil doesn't exactly have a clean health history.
McNeil's going to need to be managed.
Yeah, he always gets some random shit. And moreover, if you have a legitimate ninth bat, which, if healthy, Lowry is, you can load manage everyone.
True.
Which is probably a good thing. But more importantly, like, if you get rid of Lowry, you don't have there's not a single bat on the bench. It's nothing.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just part of me, like, seeing him run around, you know, the infield, outfield area in Coney Island this year, mm-hmm. did not fill me with confidence on him being a usable big leaguer.
Yeah, I wonder.
But also, I get what you're saying, and I don't think that I don't think giving him away, in a straight salary dump or when you could otherwise get more for whatever you're trading, mm-hmm. is a particularly like good process move.
Yep. And I seriously doubt they're going to make any notable. Now I will say this is good that they're slow playing the bench market. Like, I think that's part of your roster. You can wait to fill out. I was a little annoyed they let Culberson go for a minor league deal. I thought he fit nicely, but whatever. Well, I guess we should transition to the last thing here, which is makes the intense desire to dump Lowry.
Yeah, let's take a break first.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after this. This is the Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special, and yeah, back after this.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to the grand finale of the first ever Amazing Avenue Winter Meeting Special. I'm Ken Lavin. This is Lucas Vlahos. And something incredibly weird happened today. Mm-hmm. Very weird. The Mets announced that they had reached a settlement with Yoenis Cespedes to drastically reduce both the money he's owed from last season and the money he is owed for the upcoming season. So, Lucas, if you want to.
So, apparently they withheld some pay last year, and part of the settlement was not having to pay all of that. And then they reduced his contract this year to $10 million guaranteed. It was $29.5 million. With incentives up to $20 million if he gets on the field, basically.
So that's basically a Rick Porcello sized amount of money coming back into their pockets.
So knowing the Mets, they're gonna count that those incentives as spent already. So essentially, they saved $10 million off his contract. So they got one free run, Rick Porcello, free of charge. So I definitely. I'm trying to phrase this correctly so I don't just get flamed. I'm one of the more management friendly voices on the staff, I think, which isn't to say I'm a Wilpon defender, but I understand the perspective of management more often than.
Not hard, like not hard to do.
right.
To lead one very strong way.
Right. Most of our staff is like extremely pro labor, and I would definitely call myself labor leaning, but not as strongly. And the Mets have done lots of shady, shitty things to guys over the years. Like, look at what they did to Danny Echeverria, the bullshit Carlos Beltran went through way back when, et cetera, et cetera. But if the settlement was, if Cespedes' side did indeed settle and settled for this much less money, that suggests to me that there is something legitimate here. This isn't just the Mets being shitty. This is, you did something that.
This is, he legitimately thought he probably had a pretty good shot at losing the grievance.
Right. So. Right. Like, and.
It's shitty. It is what it is. You know,
I know there's a strong sentiment that there's a strong idea that major leaguers should be allowed to live their life, which they should be. But try to put yourself in the employer's shoes for a moment, right? You're paying someone to do a job. They did something unrelated to the job that prevents them from doing the job.
So I fully recognize we're never going to know.
Mm-hmm. That's the other aspect happened. Here, right? Like, yeah.
So I don't think we can say for certain, no. Or at least I'm not equipped to say, being, you know, just a guy who follows this team probably closer than I should.
We all do, Ken. None of us should be invested in the Mets. Let's be real.
Yep. You know, all I know is I like Yoenis Cespedes a lot. Mm-hmm. I've said many times, I think, on a pure talent basis, he's one of, if not the best player I've ever seen play live, just purely from a talent and things they can do standpoint. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do legitimately things that I did not think were possible.
I'm still amazed at how far he can underhand flip the baseball.
Yeah, that's wild to me, that, and how casually he does it.
He does it with, like, flicks his wrist, and it goes from left field to first base.
Epically entertaining player.
Absolutely, yeah.
When even remotely healthy. I would argue, and like, he's shown over the years that if he can stand, he can hit. He's played through literally, you know, bones growing where they're not supposed to grow in his heels.
Yeah, he'd be remarkably
consistent. Mm-hmm.
He'd be a real nice fifth bat on the bench come playoff time if he can get back, that's for sure.
So, you know, if restructuring the money makes it more likely that he sees the field and, you know, that there might be a chance that he makes it back because there's no longer an incentive for him not to be brought back, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's
good. In that perspective, like, I would love, like, nothing would make me happier than Yoenis Cespedes being back on a baseball field, and I feel like this makes that slightly more likely.
I saw some people tweeting that, like, docked pay makes him less likely to get back on the field, honestly. I don't know. I think your comment about the fact that we don't know what happened.
Yep. Totally fair.
And also, we
don't know where he's at. It's just that was my immediate thought, is that, you know, maybe we'll get to see Yo this year. I don't know.
And the Mets have done nothing to earn the benefit of the doubt. Baseball as a whole has done nothing to earn benefit of the doubt. But this was such a one-sided settlement, it seems, that hopefully this wasn't just a team abusing its power.
And that's completely fair. We'll never know one way or another. Let's just hope that Yo comes back.
Yep. And the one thing we do
I'm
know
slightly
is they
more
saved this
confident
money.
It happens than I was before.
Yep, that's fair. The one thing we do know is they saved this money. Now stop trying to dump Jed Lowry so you can sign Dellin Betances, please.
Just sign Dellin Betances. It's not that hard. Sign Will Harris.
Don't sign Dellin Betances. Sign someone else with the money you'd spend on Dellin
Betances. Just use the money and I'll be happy. I don't care what you do with it.
Yep.
I don't care.
I could find some real bad ways to spend that money, Ken. Come up with some very Metsian ways to... How do you feel about Wellington Castillo, backup catcher?
I don't feel great. You know what I would feel good about? Jason Castro.
Yes, please.
Co-starting catcher.
Yeah, screw making of the co-starting catcher. You could be the starting catcher. I don't care.
Yeah, true. He's the long slide of the platoon.
Yeah, exactly. Make him the starting catcher, please.
At Mets, do it.
You could also roster three catchers then and use Ramos as a pinch hitter because Ramos can still hit.
Ramos can hit.
And you have a third catcher.
That's true.
Huge idea, I know, Mets, but I think they can grasp that.
Yes, three is indeed more than two.
Uh-huh. We did three things at the winter meeting.
They did, and like two before.
Yep. Can't wait till that Brody pressure. Yeah, the Yankees only signed two free agents this offseason. We signed five. Okay, Brody.
So the final thing that happened at the winter meetings is actually not something we're going to talk about. It's because it's kind of duplicative with a podcast we're going to be putting out on Monday. The two of us and Steve Saipa on this week's From Complex to Queens. We'll talk about the brief things that the Mets did in Rule 5. I think it was just one minor league free agent signing minor league in addition to that. So we're going to cover all that on Sunday. So yeah, tune in, same place you find this. And yeah, so this has been the first, Amazing Avenue winter meeting special. If you made it this far, five episodes in, thanks so much for listening and sticking with us. I know it probably wasn't always easy, but thanks. It means a lot.
We've never been on our own before.
Yeah, it stresses me out every time, Lucas, but...
But throw it out into the cold pleasant. Void.
Yeah, so I'm Ken Lavin. You can find me on Twitter at KenLavin91. My co-host tonight has been Lucas Vlahos. You can find him on Twitter at
LVlahos343.
Lucas, do you have any closing comments, concerns, snide remarks, to quote a professor I had in college?
Snide remarks, that's a good one. The three people who saw the tweet and listened to this podcast will get what I just said.
Never forget that was my joke.
I remember. I know the originator of this tweet.
No, Dave did it much better. Mm. I was so angry when I saw it. Just objectively better. Yeah. So check out Dave Capbianco on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. We should have had him on for this episode.
We should have had him on. I should, okay, do you mind doing some of the outro while I look up what his actual handle is?
Yeah, yeah, go for it. So, we're gonna wrap this up for now. I imagine there's a possibility we may dissect other moves in the future, or hopefully get to do this all again next year for the winter meetings. Though that's obviously a long way off. You'd think I'd be better prepared to do the outro stuff, you know?
Oh, that's okay. I can take it over now. I found Dave's handle. It's at Dave, D-A-V-E, Cap, C-A-P, 96. At Dave Cap 96. I'd also like to recommend that everybody follow... I should have looked it up before I decided to do this bit. Everyone follow Richard Staff.
Oh, God.
For his big baseball analysis. Rich is clearly going places in the industry. You can follow him at Staff, STAFF, 7998. And please check out the site at AmazonAvenue.com, as well as its accounts on social media, at Amazon Avenue on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Again, I'm Ken Lavin at KenLavin91. I was joined by Lucas Vlahos at LVlahos343. That was just written on my outline, so I read it. Mm-hmm. You can find this show as well as all the other great shows the site has to offer, including Unformidable, a pod of their own. Lucas, I'm so...
We're almost there. Come on.
A pod of their own, Amazing Avenue Audio, the show, the aforementioned From Complex to Queens, and AA Audio in Conversation on the Amazing Avenue feed in Apple Podcasts, where we also encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And until potentially next year, let's go Mets. Thanks again.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.